All right, 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. There's so many places you can go in following up what Zechariah is about, because it's not an unusual teaching. There's nothing unusual in the Bible about encouraging believers to do the work of God. The epistles are all about it. Hebrews, especially to the Jews, to follow on with Christ once they've been exposed to Him. Much of the Psalms about that. A lot of the prophets. Joshua, in his time before going into the land of Canaan to conquer that. It's just over and over. It's so common, because it's common for humans to quit, to get discouraged, feel like it's too much, of all commitments. So anywhere we go, we just about are going to see it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused, for it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will both save both yourself and those who hear you. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that the ministry of Timothy has been long settled. The words that Paul sent certainly were valuable to him to encourage him. And I don't know of any believer who is a lone ranger to the degree that encouragement is not needed and welcome. And we do thank you for those who are self-starters and self-motivators, who are not going to stop no matter what the opposition does. But Lord, even those are helped along by encouragement and by exhortation. And certainly we are. And so I pray, Lord, we would be exhorted from your word and be hopeful. For it's one thing to see that we should be hopeful, but another thing to be hopeful and to live with that expectation of your blessing as we commit ourselves to your work. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's easy to be surprised today, but, you know, things happen that are really outlandish. But we're actually told it's going to happen. It's not like it's something that is not predicted. The things that have happened today, the things that are being applauded today, those things which are spoken of as normal now, which are abnormal. All these things we might go, I just can't believe how far off the world has gotten. We're actually told in a number of places that this is going to be the way it is. And especially does Paul tell Timothy that. For example, later on in the second epistle to Timothy in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Well, we're in the last days, and perilous times have come. And it's not from alien invasion. I understand NASA is about to present, I saw a headline, NASA is about to present proof of alien life. Now, if you'll allow me to interpret what that means, it means that NASA needs funding for research to other planets, and they want to justify that before the public. If I didn't read the story, I'm just guessing that's probably what it's going to be about. It's just like they found Martian life on Antarctica. There's NASA right there. So that is their way of saying, listen, we need funding because we have found alien life. Everybody goes, oh, we got to send you. So that's... But the perilous times don't come from aliens coming to this world to get our natural resources. But perilous times will come from men. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power. And from such people turn away. Now, in a sense, we entered the last days when Jesus came. These are the last days, John said. So you can imagine if it was the last days then, how much laster the days are now. And how much perilous, more perilous it seems that these days are. So if you look at that and say, how can people be so crazy today? So vastly creative in new immorality. Well, there it is. It's the last times. That ability that people have to be immoral in new ways has not even been tapped to the full extent yet. The Bible says that in latter times, a day will come when the restrainer is removed from this world. The restrainer right now keeps human wickedness from breaking out in full. And imagine the time then when it breaks out like it one day will. So the last days, you got to be careful. So Paul tells Timothy, because you got to be ready for the worst of times if you're going to do the work of God. The absolute height of evil. Well, you see the same thing back in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is telling explicitly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So they'll have the faith. The faith will be delivered by the apostles and the prophets. That is the foundation stone of our doctrine, is the apostolic ministry. It tells us from the Holy Spirit what it is we're to believe. And throughout history there have been oodles of cases where people have departed from that to another doctrine. And there are major world religions today that have done that. And sects and isms and cults of Christianity that have done that. So we believe here then that it's just going to get worse. And there'll be people who reject the truth and bring something else in that is actually demonic in origin. And again, men are capable of hearing that. Men are capable of taking and believing anything that the devil can spring on them. Verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. They will not be moved by any corrective measure. You can't tell them they're wrong and have them say, I'll correct it immediately. They'll be hard. They'll be deceived. They'll be hypocritical. They'll speak of how this and that is to be this way, and they won't be speaking the truth, but they'll believe themselves to be above others. Forbidding to marry, verse 3, and that's a genre of things that false religions do to make it seem like it's more righteous than it is. The Catholic Church has forbidden throughout for a long time, hundreds of years, that priests would marry, and that there are those who take holy orders and they're married to the church, so they don't get married. And when the Reformation came and all these were saved by the gospel, well, one of the first things they did was get married, because it's just a foolish thing to say that it is God's will that a priest be married to the church and not be married to a woman. But this persists. And there's no biblical reason for it. But then the people who take these holy orders then are able to say, well, our devotion is greater. We're saying no to basic things of the flesh. We're at a higher place. And then the Catholic Church gives credit for that. Oh, this is a higher place, a higher state of being. It's not. It is saying that marriage is dishonorable, and the Bible says marriage is honorable among all. Getting married to an opposite sex gender, which I have to say these days, is an honorable thing. Those say if you don't marry, you are higher up. No, actually, you're stupider. It's not to say that every person should be married. It's not God's will that every person will end up being married. But to say that marriage is unholy and more unholy than being celibate is not a biblical standard. But you see, a new doctrine comes in and forbids to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Well, foods even. Marriage is a pretty big thing, forbid to marry. But then you can't marry and you don't get to eat fish or something. So where does all this come from? It's from demonic, evil, wicked, devilish doctrines. There's nothing holy about it. My goodness, Joe, you look a lot holier today. Well, I haven't eaten lettuce all day. Oh, that explains it. But there's no righteousness to be gained by abstaining from foods. Now, it used to be that the Jews would be separate and not eat certain foods for various reasons. They were a peculiar people, and God was setting them aside to draw attention to his work of redemption through the nation of Israel, but that all went away when Jesus came. So there's no righteousness in that. For every creature, verse 4, of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. You be thankful for your your food that you eat, and that God has no concern about that at all. There's no sin in eating a certain food. Or you can abstain from a certain food, but if you do it for religious reasons, to be righteous, you're just being silly. And Timothy's job is to instruct about this and not go along with the flow of society. And what's happened in our day is that as these new immoralities have cropped up, there aren't very many people and not very many Christians who stand up and say, no, we're not going to be doing that. That's wrong. Parents who are supposed to protect their children from stupidity in their early years are not doing that. If a child is 9 years old, a young boy who's 9 years old decides he wants to be a girl, many parents are saying, well, we'll participate in helping you to change, because they think that's trendy. That shows them how open and tolerant they are. And it basically shows that, you know, as a parent, you completely failed. Because you lead your child into a proper way. You don't let them run their imagination and get influenced by the world and then go along with it. And Timothy was to protect his charges from being led astray. So it's, Paul says in verse 6, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. The very fact that you instruct someone in these things means that the entire spirit of the age you reject. Because the spirit of our age is not to instruct in absolute manner of the things that are going on. You don't tell people what they are to do. You don't take a stand. That is postmodernism, where we don't, just for the sake of not appearing to be proud and, you know, saying we're right and everybody else is wrong, we don't say anything is wrong, unless it's Christianity, basically. But we're not going to lay down a foundation, a fundamental principle about anything being wrong. So whatever you want to do, you do that, and everybody else, the measure of society is to be tolerant of that. And go along with it. But Timothy would have nothing to do. All we would have to do is to encourage people to do whatever they wanted to do. That's the problem. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's our main basic problem. And now in our society today, that's been blessed to be a proper way, no matter what it is. Timothy wasn't to do that. He was to instruct, teach. You'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrines which you have carefully followed. So there's something to instruct in this age, to counter the age. When I played golf a lot, this happened all the time. People didn't get to swing a golf club however they wanted to. If they got a bad result, I know golfers have different swings. Some of them, you wonder how the ball ever gets hit by the way they swing, and they're good golfers. But there are certain basic principles we were taught about, about our grips, about the swing, about the way your head is. That pretty much is standard along all the swings. And you'd see somebody, and somebody who knew how to play would say, no, you can't do that. You got to do this. Well, these days, we say, well, bless you, you're hitting the ball sideways. You can't get on the green within 15 shots. But, hey, I support you. You didn't support bad golf. You instructed. You corrected. And there's something to reject. Verse 7, reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself rather to godliness. There's not anything here defined as to what profane and old wives' fables there would be. It's just a general category. where somebody makes up from talking among themselves fables. It's not necessarily a moral thing, but I think in so many places it actually is becoming more and more a moral issue. And that is this whole climate change thing. Everybody is all over that. To such a degree that if you're a climate change denier, some are suggesting you should be killed because you should not be in this world. You are hurting the planet. You're going to kill billions of people. And climate change is a bigger problem than all Islamic terror. It's going to kill so many more people. And it's hard to find anybody who is not just completely loony about this. And those of us who are old enough know that it's run the gamut in our lives. It was too cold in the 70s. It's too hot now. They say, and the temperatures are nothing. You know, when it gets warmer, you get more produce and more food, and that's all good, but they say it's bad. And then Leonardo DiCaprio says we ought to really pay attention to this because it's going to kill us all. And then he flies from California to New York. Oops, he forgot his hat, so flies back and gets his hat and flies back to New York, and now he's red. And so he's telling all of us to do it. He doesn't do it himself. That's part of that hypocrisy, lies in hypocrisy. But reject. You don't go along with everything. You reject it. Profane and old wise fables. If you can't ground it in the scriptures, well then why are we following it? And exercise yourself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In other words, it lasts. It stands up from generation to the test of truth. Godliness is always profitable. Bodily exercise is profitable in a much smaller way. Profits a little. If your body continues to age and get older, and it doesn't stop that, but godliness is profitable in every way in all ages. Verse 9, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance. For this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. And the center, and the thing we see in Zechariah and we see in other parts of Scripture, the center has got to be God and our Lord Jesus Christ and the things of the Spirit. And he weaves it right back to that, because if you're following in the first part of this passage, doctrines of demons, you've departed from the truth of God. If you hear when people put up human ordinances like forbidding to marry and abstaining from certain foods, you have again departed from God, because Paul says every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. In other words, God is for what you're saying you shouldn't eat. So the solution again is to return to God. And you nourish people in the words of Jesus Christ. Again, that's the return. But if you don't do that, you're following old wives' fables instead of the truth. So in every place here, the correction is, if society is running off somewhere, it's not to put a stamp of approval on society, but to return to the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of God, that which the Spirit has given to us. And Timothy's job and our job is to stay there and to influence others in that way. with love, friendship, kindness, compassion. We understand why people get into this position. We understand why the world is this way, because the Spirit expressly tells us that things are going to get worse and perilous times will come. And this is all bound up in us and our ability to do this. We understand. We understand why people get the way they get, believe the things they believe. If it's not checked, it can run completely crazy. We were always told growing up, you get something, especially something that you, as boys, we'd have things. Sometime you'd launch a rocket. We had a rocket that you could. I don't think they could even allow Mike. I don't think they could allow you to sell this thing today. These rockets that you could pump up with water, and it would get so, and it was right there on the pad. And then you trigger the thing, and it would shoot up. I bet there were more noses broken from that thing. And if we started pumping that thing up in the house, boys, take that outside. They didn't tell us to stop breaking our noses or anything, but they did say if you're going to do it outside. So you get it out of the place where it's dangerous. And these things, they come, and we're to be diligent in making sure that we don't follow harmful practices. So we labor, verse 10, suffer reproach. Why would you suffer reproach? That's just that right there is a giveaway of the nature of the world. That you can say all kinds of crazy things, and the world will come up to you and hug you. But if you labor for Christ, you suffer reproach. And we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. That's saying two things there, which is how we understand our Lord Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. He is the only Savior. He's the only way a person can overcome this awful, sinful nature, so that we might say he is potentially or fundamentally the only one who can correct our sin problem. But he's not the Savior practically and experientially except for those who believe. But he is the only Savior. There's not, we got different cars. We got different makes of cars and different models of cars, and that's because we can choose whatever car we can afford or want to get. Well, we can't get all the ones we want to get. But we choose when it comes time, we get the car that we choose to get, and that's up to us, and nobody says, that was wrong. You got a Ford. That's wrong. Because it's not wrong. So you can't say, well, my Savior is Allah. My God is Muhammad. You don't have the right to say that. You can't just say you follow someone and that they are just as right as Jesus. You just don't. The reality is different. So Jesus is the Savior of all the world. You don't believe in him, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make him not the Savior. It means he's not your Savior, but it doesn't mean he's not the Savior. So verse 11 is right in line with this, where Paul says, these things command and teach. Now, commanding, well, that's getting uppity. The world doesn't like uppity unless it has to do with worldly things. The world doesn't mind uppity when people talk about we're killing the planet. You know, Michael Moore can be just as uppity as he wants to be, as long as he's talking about worldly doctrine. But when we say Jesus is the only way to come to God, and you've got to believe in Christ and repent of your sin, well, then you're getting uppity. So Timothy was not to back away from that. You command and teach this. Let no one despise your youth. You're too young to be saying these things. Was it Dr. Thomas who said, when you speak God's word, you're as old as God. And let no one despise your youth. And it doesn't mean he's going to wipe them out if they despise his youth. What that means is he's not going to be moved by it. They're not going to let that be an excuse. He's not going to have let somebody say, you're too young to say this, and then he stopped. He's going to say it anyway. Because he knows the truth. Be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And spirit won't be in some of your translations because that was a different manuscript. But be an example. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, or teaching. Just exactly what people want today from a minister, right? They don't want him to be a funny, social guy. They want him to teach and preach. Well, of course not. Oh, why does that preacher preach so long? Why is he teaching this? Why is he going to expand? Get some more topics. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, the elders. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Meditating on these things is entrenching yourself in them. You're not going to turn away from it. I mentioned golf earlier. Golf is I love golf. I don't play now. And I guess if I had opportunity, I would see if I'd get good again. But golf is a thinking kind of thing. And if you're doing something wrong, it becomes in your mind when you play, you're saying, do not do this. You get to a certain hole, you say, do not do this, do not do this, do not do this. And you fight that in your mind so that you stop bad habits. And when you meditate on something you're supposed to do, you're trying to entrench yourself in it. So that when the wind blows, it doesn't blow you off that spot. And the Bible tells us that is what happens when false doctrine comes in, that people are blown here and there by every wind of doctrine. However the wind blows, that's what our society has done, is it blows in some newfangled new way of immorality. Well, there goes the world right after it, because they're not entrenched in the Word of God. Meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them. You see, that's the dedication that we have to have lest we get blown all over the place. It doesn't mean we're hateful. It means we're loving. And people will see that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Well, the people who hear you don't think it that way. They don't think, oh, he's being brave and he's standing up and he's telling the truth, and so he's gonna do us good. No, they see that you're going to do them bad. But the truth is that if Timothy and if we continue in the things of God and in the work of God, we will save ourselves. It's not speaking about salvation, but being praised and pleasing to the Lord and not judged for unfaithfulness. And others, which could certainly be salvation, in the fact that the Word of God and the truth of God brings about the salvation of God. And people are helped. You save both yourself and those who hear you. But what do you do if you depart from it? To doctrines of demons? Nothing. Old wives' fables, nothing. Instead, we're to be completely continuing and meditating and heeding the doctrine of God and the work of God. And that means when we're discouraged, we're not going to stop. When the world tells us they don't want that, we're not going to stop. We're going to be stubborn and entrenched. And save ourselves and those who hear us by holding to the truth of God. That's what Zechariah is going to be about. It's going to encourage us in that. Because the whisperings of the devil to get us to stop is psychological warfare that is given to us to get us to heed the doctrines of demons instead of the truth of God. Let's all stand. Mike, would you dismiss us?